Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. You can now join us for live streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Our worship services start at 10:45 on Sundays. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled Snake Handlers, Mr. Spock, and the Life of Faith, from Hebrews 11, 1-3.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval, and by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was made by that which was invisible. That's Hebrews 11, verses 1-3. It's one of our favorite passages. It has to do with the essence of faith. And I've been thinking a lot about faith lately. I've been thinking about faith because we're meeting around the table, but not really this morning. So what is it that we think we're doing when we're gathering around a table? A physical table is bad enough that somehow it's connected to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but what about when we're not even doing it physically? What does faith mean there? But more than that, it has to do with the reason we're not meeting around this table. It has to do with the reason of what's keeping us away. It has to do with a pandemic. It has to do with some of the statements that I hear about what faith does and what faith doesn't do. Sometimes it just comes down to faith, is what I have heard again and again, particularly when it's regarding the gathering in worship. One person even said, isn't it refreshing when people just decide they're going to believe and trust in God anyway and meet? And it's got me thinking, is that the essence of faith? Is that what we are talking about here? Or is there something else? So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It makes for a great poster. There's all kinds. Lots of different ones, but how do you actually live that? That's what I want to explore a little bit this morning, and I want to begin with another passage about faith, and this one out of the chapter 16 of Mark, where it talks about, for those who believe, this is what's going to be true of those who believe, and there's a list of things, about five different things, including this, that they will be able to pick up poisonous snakes in their hands. They'll even be able to drink poison, and it won't kill them. This has given rise to at least a small sect of what's called snake handlers. Snake handlers, you can find them in the Appalachians, you can find them in certain parts of Oklahoma. You don't find them very far though, because the idea is that if you really believe in God, then you can handle these poisonous snakes. And many times they can, but then they get bit and oftentimes they die. And it's not because they don't have a lack of faith. It has a lot more to do with the amount of venom, which no matter how much faith you have, at some point it's going to stop your heart. I think about that because it seems to me that in this time and age, we have a different variation of snake handlers. It is, in a sense, virus handlers. It is people who are saying, it doesn't matter what the science says. It doesn't matter what everything else is saying. If you just believe in God, then everything will be fine. So let's get together. Let's gather in worship. And somehow all the rules that apply out there don't apply in here. So out there you need to wear a mask, but in here, because this is God's house, you don't have to. As if viruses took Sunday off, as if somehow they respected the distance, what happens in a sanctuary. And the results are often disastrous. Whole choirs have come down with COVID, and congregations, it spreads, and in a worship service where everybody is gathered together and they're breathing on one another in close proximity, and it just becomes a super spreader event. And it gets me to thinking, what is it that we are calling faith? Because at this point, faith is that which defies logic. And the more you defy logic, more you defy the reality that is around you, then somehow you have more faith. It's almost like the saying about, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness, and you just replace irrationality. Irrationality is next to godliness, and the more irrational you are, the more you defy reality, the more you disdain all of the things of this world, then the closer you are to God. Or even worse, that somehow God is impressed by those acts and is waiting for those kind of acts in order for God to act. A lot of damage has been done with that kind of, well, for lack of a better word, magical kind of faith, that somehow the rules of the universe are suspended once we walk in the doors of a church. Or if you just have enough faith, then all of that doesn't apply. It has, in fact, moved some people to the opposite extreme. They just think the whole thing is nonsense. And so that if you're not a snake handler, then maybe what you are is closer to a Mr. Spock, if you will, if you're familiar with Star Trek, and who had no place for faith because faith was illogical. And the only thing that mattered was logic. The only thing that really mattered, the only thing you could depend upon was reason. And so people go that way, and as if everything else is pushed in and is just science fiction, it's just magic and we can't deal with it. But do we have to choose between a Mr. Spock and a snake handler? Are those our only two choices? Or is there something else? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That faith itself is an active trust in God as we experience it in Christ. And it doesn't exclude reason, it includes reason. It includes reasons because reason and science and knowledge is a part of the gift of God. It is how God has already been revealed in our world. That long before there was scripture, there was the first revelation, we are told, which is creation itself. That God spoke before there was humanity or anyone to hear or write things down. That God spoke and creation sprang forth. So that there is something of God in creation that we can recognize, that we can discover, that this world reflects God. And so reason and science and math and all those things are good things. And first there is creation, and then there is this, out of that comes humanity, and out of humanity there is a certain people, a people for whom certain revelation was given. We call the scripture, particularly the Old Testament at this point, and the logical conclusion, the ultimate revelation of God was Christ. And because of Christ, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, a new people has been created that is supposed to live in such a way that what God is intending for the rest of humanity is being worked out here in the body of Christ. And not only for humanity, but all of creation to somehow redeem and complete what creation is. Now that is faith, but it embodies both reason and science. And it also takes a huge leap. About 450 years ago, there was a catechism trying to teach people about faith. It was called the Heidelberg Catechism. And the very first question, and even though it was addressing a whole different set of issues, the very first question, I think, still holds up pretty well when it says, so what is your only hope and comfort in this world? And the answer is, my only hope and comfort in this world and the next is that I belong body and soul to my Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me. And, as it goes on in that answer, and by the assurance of the Holy Spirit in the eternal life, the life that has no end, the life that not even death can stop, I now will give myself to him. That seems to be what we're doing here at this table. It is embracing that we belong to something larger than ourselves, that what I have seen, that there's something unseen that's going on that's bigger. And it doesn't mean that I defy reason. It doesn't mean I defy logic. I use it. I use all of that as a way of serving and giving myself to God. And so yes, sometimes when we are faced with things, of course, when somebody is sick, we pray for them. And we also tell them to go to the doctor and take their medicine. Sometimes we do big things that are very bold. And it's also an act of faith to wear a mask because that tells us, and because of what science tells us about that, how we are aligning ourselves with what God is doing and continues to do in and through our world. Sometimes we gather together as the body, and then other times, because we're told that that's not the wisest thing to do, then we social distance like we're doing now. And sometimes faith requires something and calls on something that is grand and bold, and those are the big giant statements and the big giant gestures. But then isn't it just as much an act of faith to tend to the ordinary and the common? Because at the core of it, isn't an act of faith that which gets up, and it's how it shows up every day, not just for the big stuff, but for the everydayness of our world, that it goes to work. It does things that are ethical, even when it doesn't seem like there's a payoff there. It does the kinds of things where it expresses compassion, even when that gets penalized. It dares to step in and to love neighbor, even when everything else seems to be gathering and just protecting and looking out for self. It gives when everything says, hold on. Isn't that the act of faith? Isn't that the act of trust that, on the one hand, relies upon the assurance of the God who has given everything to us, and now we give everything back to God? What is a life of faith? I was having a conversation with Rob Hazelhurst. He's one of the members here at New Hope. About a month ago now, it was at one of our parking chats, and I was just asking him, how is it going? He is an instructor. Rob was a person who did something that was sort of anti-intuitive. Here he was. He was very comfortable working for IBM, and then took advantage of a program where people from the industry came in and taught and tried to interest high school students in science and math and engineering. And it worked really well, because he got so interested in education that he left his job at IBM and then started to go into education and went back to school and went back into this program as a teacher, was a teacher here in Castle Rock. And this last year has had a new job up in Cherry Creek, kind of an experimental school, very hands-on, lots of technology and science and math, and very cool. And then March came, and everything had to shut down, and he had to try and do all the stuff that was best done by hand. Now he had to do it virtually. And so I asked him about it, and it started this set of three questions that I asked him and that I really want to ask other people throughout the congregation. And I loved his answer so much that I am accelerating this interview. I was going to use it later in the fall, but it seemed to fit so well with what this was about, because the questions are, so how has this experience affected you? Second question, how has your faith impacted your experience? And then finally, just, and where are you finding joy? I'd like you to listen to this. It's a shortened version of an interview. That a longer version will be online here later this week. But listen for what does it mean to live a life of faith. How has this season, this occasion, how has this impacted you?
You know, it really was, I think, a matter of how do I deliver what I'm trying to deliver to my kids as best I can, and how do I listen to what their issues are? One thing, as a high school teacher, you have heard every excuse in the book. The old dog ate my homework has been modernized, and the students have very creative ways of coming up with all kinds of excuses. And after a while, it's easy to become a little bit jaded, a little bit skeptical that what they're telling you is really true. I think during the pandemic, though, we realized that you had to approach those situations with grace. And I would say probably in about 99% of the cases, what the kids were telling us was true. They were truly dealing with some very difficult situations, and when in doubt, give them the benefit of the doubt was the other thing. So we tried to listen, and I tried to find ways to to be as compassionate as possible. And in parallel with that, by the way, the students were amazingly compassionate with me. The reality was I was making this stuff up as I was going. And so was every other teacher in the state, in the country, I think, was pretty much making it up as we were going, as we were trying to figure out how to take this stuff online. And so as a result, I was very upfront with my students, and I let them know I'm trying some things. I'm experimenting with some things. I don't know if this stuff is going to work for you. I don't know if you'll be able to access it correctly. If you're having trouble, let me know. And they were very compassionate with me. They were very patient. There was never a situation where a kid came across as angry. They came across as, you know, this isn't working for me. Can you help me out? And I would sit down and try to work with them. And as a result, I think relationships actually were better during this time period, which is kind of ironic because you would think face to face in a classroom, that would be the environment where you would really develop those deep relationships. And you know, to some extent we do. But when we went online and everybody was in the same boat together where we were all struggling to figure this stuff out, there was a level of compassion and just a willingness to work together and figure out and solve problems that you don't even have in a regular classroom, I think.
Yeah. You said deepen relationships, you use the word grace, and which gets me to the next question then is, so how has your faith impacted this experience?
The most fundamental thing we're taught every Sunday is love thy neighbor, right? Yeah. And I think that was a big part of it, was how do we love our students? How do we love on these kids? How do we show them compassion, show them grace? And what's amazing is how much it comes back. You do that for the kids and it comes back, you know, and sometimes, you know, many more times than it was going out. So I'd say that would be the biggest thing. Again, back to the grace, the compassion, all of those elements of faith where, you know, we're taught to show compassion to others, to show grace. And that really, it really brought that out. Recently, over the summer, I've just out of the blue received a couple emails from former students. One was a student who didn't really engage well in school back in the day. I remember this student very well, very nice young man, but just not into school. Although he was into my classes, I guess, more than he was into his other classes, which says how little he was into his other classes. However, he managed to eke his way through high school. He made it into college and he started studying engineering and it really connected with him. And so he reached up out of the blue to tell me that he has graduated with his engineering degree, that my class was a component of his decision to study engineering and to get excited about that. And that now he's working for Lockheed Martin, helping launch rockets into space. And, you know, just those little things that you know, are just bring such joy to a teacher. I mean, that's what it's about, is connecting with the kids. Yeah. And the other student was is now a sophomore in college, but he has a mom who's a nurse and he has some at-risk family members living with them at home, his grandparents. And he has gotten a passion about trying to figure out how to make a better mask. And so he is off trying to figure out how to 3D print masks and do design work using SolidWorks, the CAD program that I teach my students. And so he wants me to be a tester and a design consultant and to be part of his project. And I was just honored that he would reach out of the blue and ask me to help him out. So I thought that was really fun. So we're going to be collaborating on that together. So,
that's so cool.
Neat things. So cool. Some neat things.
Compassion and grace, love your neighbor. These are all acts of faith. Caring for those who need it the most, not the ones who deserve it the most. This is part of a life of faith. This is a life that has given itself to what God has yet to do. What does it mean to live for God?
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.